Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
He was talking about the importance and continues to talk about the importance in his letter about loving one another. He was saying, in essence, we should do it. We should just love one another. And as Leanne taught, it was more than just a nice thought from a nice apostle. Our love for one another is central to who we are. In fact, it is a Christian requirement. This is what John said in John 13, 34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. This is the words of Jesus. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. We are called to love because we are a family. As Leanne said last week, we share spiritual DNA with Jesus and with each other. And that calls us all to an evident relationship of love. John's words, as they so often do, challenged us, saying that if we harbor hatred for one another, it is as if we are a murderer at heart. It might not be a physical murder, as was the case with Cain and Abel, but the same condition of the heart exists when we consider someone dead to us. That might look like the severing of a relationship, or the withholding of forgiveness, or the refusal to move to restoring. Within Christendom and within our relationships, while there are differences among us, as Leanne taught last week, we must learn to love one another. We need to learn how to forgive one another and to find areas of common ground. It really is about recognizing the identity in Jesus of brothers and sisters. We are all created in the image of God. And in that, we need to recognize our interdependence. Our interdependence upon each other, which today in this culture is not really considered all that great. In a society that really celebrates individualism and all of that, the value of true community, interdependence upon one another, is not always cheered along. So it was a good word last week, Leanne. Thank you for sharing that. So then John moves on in his letter to speak of practical expressions of love, practical ways of expressing our love. And that's what brings us to our passage, which we'll be looking at today. And it also helps us to introduce this important season for us as we emphasize global work and what we are called to do. Global work is important for us. It is part of the practical expression of love that we have. And for us, that extends from our backyard right around the world. But before we dive into 1 John, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 16 to 24, if you want to kind of get a head start, let me first give you some perspective on our view of global work. What we do next door and around the world is clearly a significant part of our mission as a community. And that global work mission is really embodied in at least three of our seven values. It's embodied in our value, obviously, of the Great Commission, in our value of generosity. And we'll see later as we go through John's letter, in our value of authenticity, being who we say we are. Our understanding of mission, is reflected in the conversation that Jesus had with his Father about his disciples when he said in John 17, verse 18, "In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world." In other words, the work that Jesus began while he was with us has been passed on to us. And Jesus goes on to describe that assignment, our mission, in greater detail. And that's what we call, of course, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It might seem a little odd that that we have such a specific biblical imperative like the Great Commission as a value alongside our broader values like recognizing and releasing and spiritual formation and worship. It is there as a value because the Great Commission is central to who we are at Living Waters as a community. The value that we have not only speaks of our responsibility to the mission, but also of our passion to see others experience the gospel. Let's look at that value together. Fraser, if you can just stick that up there. It says this: we are a people who understand the church is not limited by its building or by a street address. The church is us, and we are called to reach beyond our walls and impact the lives of those who are far from God who live there. We see the sphere of our influence ranges from our backyard to our world. We are passionate about the gospel that has set us free. It's our value, the value of the Great Commission. The Great Commission, the sharing of the gospel, is why we do what we do with our global work initiatives. It's why we're having this emphasis this month. Whether we are in Burnaby, BC, or we're in Cambodia, or whether we're in Slovakia. And it's the sheer scope of that global mission that calls us to be generous in our response to that assignment by Jesus. And so our values of the Great Commission and of generosity beautifully intersect one with the other. Let's take a look at our value of generosity. As Jesus was generous, so too do we wish to be a generous people. Generous in ways that are surprising and testimony to our love for one another. Generous with those around us who may decide what Christianity looks like based on our behavior. We wish to be generous because Jesus was generous. Of course, generosity is a necessary characteristic of any Christian, not only in terms of our finances, but in all aspects of our lives. And so, as you've just seen, our written value of generosity talks about us being generous as Jesus was generous. And frankly, that is a bold ambition. But I believe Jesus, by his Spirit, has equipped us for that kind of generosity. It's a generosity that really takes flight as we remember what he has done for us. And then practically respond to Jesus' command to love others as he loves us. When we do that, our generosity gains real momentum, especially as it is applied to the Great Commission. We are passionate about what Jesus has done for us. We understand that we are called to reach the world and share the gospel that has changed us. And that fuels our generosity. These values of the Great Commission and generosity, they fuse so well with our global work theme, which, as I said, for the second year in a row is share. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is about sharing the abundant resources with others that we have so that the good news may be planted and take root around the world. That's what we're passionate about. We think that the concept of sharing is captured well in the scripture that you'll find at the bottom of our banners and the bottom of your cards. 1 Timothy 6:18. They, meaning us, disciples, are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. You see, this is Christian love. This is the practical application of Christian love. Doing good, being generous, sharing with one another. This was the character of Jesus, who redefined cultural definitions of love by living it out and setting the example for his disciples and sending them and us on mission to do the same. So let's move on to our passage in 1 John today. We're going to begin where Leanne left off last Sunday, and once again, that's 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. And he begins to talk about the practical expression of love, and John gives us a sense that that bar is set rather high. This is what he says in verse 16. We know what real love is, because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give our lives for our brothers and our sisters. So there is nothing at all small about those first two sentences. They tell us that real love often has a cost attached to it. There is a sacrifice involved. Of course, Jesus knew all about sacrifice. The cross was all about sacrifice. God the Father sending his only Son to be murdered by a broken humanity for a broken humanity. It's all about loving sacrifice. In fact, no greater statement of love was possible. It was so great that Scripture tells us that it made the earth tremble. It ripped the temple curtain from top to bottom. And it saved us. It saved us. Jesus has provided us with the consummate definition of real love. He has absolutely set the example for us. So, John says, we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. So here's a good question. Is the bar of loving others set so high that we all need to die to achieve it? Well, no. Although there are many martyrs who have done that very thing. In this context, the sacrifice of our lives is more about living than it is about dying. But it is about living for others and putting their needs ahead of our own. It's exactly what Jesus did. There's 3 years of ministry here on earth, right to the cross. He became a servant for all those who he came to save. And John is simply saying that we must be prepared. When you follow the Master, the practical application of love, if properly applied, will mean giving up something. It will mean that. It will mean giving something up for others. In a sense, the higher the sacrifice, the greater the love. And so, in case there was any question about what he was talking about, John provides his readers with clarity through a picture and a resulting question. Verse 17. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister in need but shows no compassion, here comes the question, how can God's love be in that person? Now let's remember that John has been dealing with some opposition within the church. And so his comments are likely aimed at those within that Christian community who were thinking only of themselves and thus lived in opposition to the generous teachings of Jesus. Or he might have been addressing those who paid lip service to the compassionate needs, but their words resulted in no action. There was some disunity there. But whatever the case, John's teaching is clear. In light of another's need, holding back when you have plenty is not indicative of a heart that belongs to Jesus. It's never right for a Christian who lives in abundance to ignore someone in need, whether it's about our giving here or on the streets of Calcutta. To ignore the need is to forget why we have been given our abundance in the first place. And lest we be tempted to redefine our abundance to something less than it is, it's good for us to be reminded that, as some estimates say, almost half the world today, over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. We are a people who have been given an abundance. Surely we would not be so bold as to believe even for a moment that God has blessed us with abundance because somehow we're better? Could it be that God has given to us abundantly so that we can give generously to others? Could it be that our living for others means sacrificing a portion of what we have been given so that they might live well, that they might have clean water, decent food, and an opportunity to learn about Jesus? Could it be that is why we have the abundance that we have? Well, I think that's it. And frankly, that equation gets all messed up when we choose to live in lifestyles that focus so highly on us and our pleasure, and even lifestyles that have us living beyond our means and limit our opportunity to give to others. He has given abundantly so that we might live well, but also give abundantly. And there is a balance there. John knows that it is easy for us to state our loving intentions, but following through, it can be another matter. And he says what you and I know to be true, that our actions must match our words. Our actions must match our words. He says in verse 18, Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. It's here that that third value that I was talking about finds its place. It's the value of authenticity, and it is an important value for us here at Living Waters. We say that we want to be a people who not only say what we do, but do what we say, and that is part of that value. Perhaps worse than doing nothing is saying that we will do something and then not do it. That neither honors God nor helps those who are around us who are in such need. That would not be in the character of Christ, and so that should not be in the character of a Christ follower. When what we say in love and what we do in love match, when those two things match, John says it is a clear sign of our allegiance to Jesus and our commitment to his mission, that which he has assigned us. Our actions, our response to mission, to generosity, our authentic response as believers all show that we have been transformed by the living and generous Jesus. They are indications of that. And with everything lining up as it should, John says that we can be confident on that day when each of us will be held to account for what we have or have not done. As disciples of Jesus, we can be confident on that day. Well, when we're faced with such a huge global task of loving generously and sharing charitably, and we consider that in the world that is around us, we can easily, so easily be overwhelmed. And in fact, our consciences can begin to get the better of us, and we can begin to feel guilty for not loving enough, not doing enough, not giving enough. And guilt is never a great motivator, and it is certainly one that we will never use here. Our motivation as individuals, as a community, our motivation must be love. That must be our motivation. And John reminds us that what really counts is what God thinks. That's what really counts. He says this, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do things that please him. Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our motivations, and we just need to do what we can do. We just need to do what we can do. And so, as we act in love, we give in love, then we don't need to feel guilty. And we don't need to feel overwhelmed. And we can come before the Lord knowing that we have done what we could do. And what's so cool about the body of Christ is that when we do what we can do together, the results are amazing. They really are. They are amazing. And you know, the Bible makes it very clear. We are better together. We are better together. We're stronger together, and we can accomplish more when we do it together, as our love is practically expressed together. It's part of the reason that we are designed to be a common community. And you know, every week I observe the life of the church. And I observe the power of all of us being together. I see it in our life groups. I see it when the hand of hospitality is extended and the hand of generosity is extended and the hand of compassion is extended in this community. I see it every week in our life. I'm reminded about what can be accomplished together. And as Luke mentioned, we're going to be celebrating a mission on community and all the work of the volunteers and what they do together. And look what they do together here. It is amazing what we can do when we do it together. And so this month, through our global work emphasis, you and I have an opportunity to consider doing something amazing together this year. We have an opportunity to consider how we will put our love into action by helping to resource the work of Jesus in a geography that extends from here to Siberia. And we consider what we might do this year with a backdrop of what already has been accomplished through his church. Let me just remind you of some of the work that we have been able to do together. This last year, we have supported 12 global workers, and we've given each of them $6,400 for the work that they are doing. We've supported our City Lights Church plant for $20,000 this year, and we've done that for two other years. It's important work. People are coming to Christ, and they're being baptized. The city is hard ground, and we've got Brett and Natalie and a growing team doing the work. And so we're helping to resource them. We, community, helping to resource them. And in addition, we gave a total of $40,000 to a newly developed team of seven global partners. And those are people who are among us who do global work, but they're not a part of that 12 that we support monthly. We also sent $10,000 for the development of a community well for the Maasai people in Tanzania. That money just went out in December of this past year. We also have been supporting a well, or we supported a well that was in Burkina Faso. That was that video we saw of the people coming out to pray for us. And just this last week, we received pictures of the well that was actually a water project that has been completed in the Bihar province of India. And you remember we talked about that a couple of years ago, and this community gave $20,000 for that well. And so Darcy has been able to send us some pictures here. So let's just take a look at it. These are before and after pictures. And part of the problem in this Bihar province, in this area, was that the ground water level was so high that drainage water was seeping into the water table, and it was spoiling the drinking water. Just continue to flash through those, Fraser. So this was one of the major reasons for the spread of disease in the area. So there was just a lack of common drainage. The sewage and other waste was constantly building up in many places around there, and you can imagine there was quite a bit of sickness. And so this community, as you look at those pictures, I want you to see this. This community gave $20,000 to that project so that people would have clean drinking water, so that they could live and go to school and be in a safe place. This is not to pat us on the back, but this is to remind you that this is what we can do as a community together. See, we are impacting lives that are far away from us as far as distance in the globe is concerned, but not far away from us in terms of our hearts. These are things that we can do. We can't save the world, but we can do something. We can't save the world, but we can do something together. We can continue to ensure that we not only say that we love each other, but we show the truth by our actions. So before we close today, we want to present the opportunity to make our love practical, at least to talk about it, to embrace the mission that God has given us, the great commission that Jesus has assigned to us. And as we move forward, I want all of us to consider the value that we have here of generosity and consider the abundance that God has given us for his kingdom purposes. As you came in today, you would have received a card, and it looks like this. So if you've got that, just pick it up for a moment. Let me just explain how we use this card. If you've been here before, you've filled one of these out. It is a pledge card, really, and it lists the countries that we support on the front, the global workers. And then on the other side, it really talks about this pledge. And this is how it works. What we'd like you to do is to hold on to this card, and you don't need to fill it out today, but we'd like you to take it home and pray about it. Literally pray over this card. Consider those that we have, that we support around the world, and ask God what it is that you might do, how you might give. Lyndon and I will be doing the same thing this week. We'll be praying, and we'll be asking God what we could do. One of the things that we ask you to consider doing is to make a commitment to giving to missions on a monthly basis. That's what Linda and I do. It just it's a great way of doing it, and we just know that we're able to provide that that level of support. And so it gives you an opportunity to fill that out, or maybe you would prefer to give a single gift. That's okay. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart. Remember that God has given us abundantly, and we want to give, but we want to give in a way that we're comfortable. Like, this has got to be something between you and the Lord. So what we want you to do is we want you to fill this in and then bring it along this coming Sunday. Now, we're not going to track this. We don't do that. We don't sort of track who said who's going to give what or whatever. What we want to do is just sort of see how we're doing in terms of moving towards our total. This year, our total is $130,000. That's what we're hoping to raise this year. And we did the same thing last year. Yeah. So I can see on some of your faces, it's like, whoa, like, how can we do this? Well, do you know that today, over 500 people will come here today, over our three services. And, you know, we can do a lot. Do you know that our community is probably about 700 strong? Together, we can do a lot if we all do it together. So $130,000 is absolutely achievable. I want you to know that $130,000 was our goal last year. And when we did the final tallying, this is going right up to today, which included February. So we just got the tally last week. We managed to raise this community $127,275. Yeah. So, and that is just in our giving to global work. So we were at 98% of our goal. And I'll tell you, if I would have had time, I would have sold something to come up with that $2,700 that would have taken us to the 135. But it reminds us that we need to have faith and to believe God. But we were almost able to achieve $130,000 last year. I believe the same thing is possible here. We're talking about money, and there's a numeric value in all of that. But please, this is not about money. This is about lives. It's about relationship. It's about sharing. It's about, I believe, doing what the Lord has called us to do. These are our global workers, and we want you to pray about them. We want you to think about what you would do this year for our global workers. While you're considering that, I'd like to really encourage you to be sure that you are here this coming Sunday. Christo Emmanuel is going to be with us. So he's sharing at the youth on Tuesday, but he's going to come on Sunday, and he's going to share the message with us. This guy's on fire, let me tell you. He and his wife, Sarah, and their family are in Chennai, India. And this is a church that began in the living room of their house. And now it's a standalone church. And it's growing. It's passionate. There's life. People are coming to Jesus. And people are being baptized. This is just life. And so we've been able to support and help them along the way. And so they're going to be, Crystal's going to be here this coming week, which will be very cool. Here's the other thing I'm really excited about. Marg Foreman, who is a global worker that we have been supporting in Africa for a number of years now. And I mentioned this before, but she's retired this year. She has just come back in the last 3 weeks after living in Africa and being a global worker there. Tough, tough transition for her. But we're so excited that she's going to come this coming Sunday as well. And she's just going to be with us. She'll share a few minutes. But what I'm really excited about in terms of her coming is that she's going to be kind of passing on the torch, because we're adding someone new to our global work list, and that's our very own Danielle Spampinato. Yeah, which is so cool. And Danielle is going to Bangladesh, and she's in that process now of just trying to find the funds to be able to go there. What an incredible story of what's happening in Bangladesh. So here's another person who has come from this community that we are sending out. We have a number of people who are on our list that have actually come from this place. And so we just know that God is at work. So you want to come this coming Sunday. It really is going to be pretty amazing. Okay. I want to conclude this morning with the last three verses of our passage in 1 John, and it will form part of our benediction. So would you stand, everybody, and let me pray before we go. And this is what it says. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. So, Father, as we prepare to go out into this new week, may we today move forward in our mission, empowered by your Holy Spirit, to love as you have loved us. Lord, help us to be a difference today. Help us to have good influence today. Help us to believe for what may seem to be impossible, and to be reminded that in you all things are possible. We give you thanks. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Take your card with you. Please bring it back this coming week and pray.